Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to Marriage or Martinis. I'm Adam, and here's Danielle.
Hello.
Hello.
I feel like it's been a while since it was just the two of us.
It's been a long time since it's been just the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
Our daughter's upstairs, but the boys are out.
Yep.
And the dogs are here, so in case we hear them during the episode, mm-hmm. they're here.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be some barking. But it's nice just to be us, be here alone.
Yeah, no, and it's nice to be, I feel like I have like a laundry list of things I want to catch up on. To talk about.
Here on the podcast or just between us?
Well, both. But okay. No, especially here on the podcast because, God, there's been so much that has gone on that I've wanted to, like, tell everybody about. But it's funny because the other day, my best friend from college sent me a text saying, you're an asshole.
Oh. I didn't ask her to do that, I swear. It wasn't me.
And I was like, okay, yeah, but why? And she said, she's like, who approved you to do fashion-related ads? And I was like...
Wait, why? What?
So apparently, I have been pronouncing all kinds of brand names incorrectly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because she used to work in the fashion industry, and she was like, dumbass, because I guess I said Givenchy.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wait, Givenchy?
That Givenchy. Supposedly, it's... Givenchy.
Oh boy.
Or Givenchy. Well, she spelled it out because we don't talk in person unless we're face to face. So she spelled it out. And she's like, it's Givenchy. She's like, you're not allowed to do ads for fashion. She's like, who approved this?
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's because funny. I'm so bad. I was like, listen, I can't afford it and I can't pronounce it. Okay.
Well, yeah. <that's...
laughs> You know what I can pronounce? Old fucking Navy.
Right.
That's what I can pronounce.
I'm proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, that reminds me of a podcast that I listened to about Apple products and just all Mac stuff and Apple stuff. And when they came out
you willingly listen to this podcast.
I've been listening to it for probably 14 years now, since the beginning. I'm an old school podcast listener.
I know you're an old school podcast listener, but that podcast sounds like torture.
I love it.
I know.
Keeps me up to date, gives me it's fun info, whatever. And when the Apple Watch came out, Hermes came out with a band. That's right, Hermes, right?
Mm-hmm. Hermes. I think so, yeah. That's how I say it.
They came out with a band for
Hermes,
the Apple Watch.
Hermes.
Well, the guy kept saying Hermes.
Oh.
And for a second there, I was like, should I contact him and tell him? Do I want him to know that I know that that's wrong and I know how to pronounce it?
Right.
And so I did. And he came back on in the next episode and said...
And he listened to you?
Well, he said, I got a ton of emails from people saying,
right.
It's not Hermes.
I feel like there's a lot of those things that... there's a lot of those that I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly. But it doesn't matter because I'm never going in the... I mean, when am I in
the fashion industry.
When do you have to pronounce... Well, I guess I did have to pronounce it, but...
Yeah, see?
But I... Yeah.
But the fashion industry is... They're all foreign, you know... English/foreign language
right.
names, so it's hard for
us. Is it Ralph Lauren or Ralph Lauren?
Who cares? Polo.
Okay, yeah. Target, Old Navy, Kohl's, I'm sticking with those.
Exactly.
Target, although people call it. and the second thing was, I have some sad news. Chelsea Handler has just recorded the last episode of her podcast.
Oh, wow.
I know. I know. I was so sad. Yes.
Is there a reason for that?
I don't know. Maybe because I was stalking her. Maybe right. She's doing it for safety reasons. Yeah.
She's like, can you please back Marjorie Martinez off? Right. And if not, I'm out.
I know. I think they do think I'm a stalker. But I went to listen to the episode the other day and it said in conclusion. And I was like, in conclusion what? And then I was like, oh, fuck. In conclusion, wow. Like the last episode. Yes. So, but she's doing other things. I think she has a lot of other stuff going on.
Well, good for her.
That, yeah.
You know what? The less celebrities on the podcast waves, the better for the little people like
us. I guess so, because I really liked hers.
I know.
So this episode,
yes,
we'll get to this more quickly. I called it Little Gestures, Big Payoffs.
Okay.
Because, first of all, we need an episode like this. And I always say we don't have a producer. There's nobody who tells us, who comes up with our topics. Sometimes people will message me with fantastic ideas, and I've used a lot of those. So if you ever have a good topic idea, please message us, because I always need them. But this one I thought about because, okay, we had been, no judgments, we had been fighting a lot. Like, not fighting a lot, we had been.
No, that's not.
Just distant.
No, that's not accurate.
It had been brewing. Yes. It had been brewing.
We had a big thing brewing. Okay. We weren't fighting a lot.
It was brewing.
Yes.
Like, you know, if everybody at home, you know when you just feel it coming, it's like it's building up and building up, and every time you look at each other, you just like want to fucking slam each other into a wall, not in the good way.
And not the good kind of building it up and slamming each other into the wall.
No, not
the bad kind.
No, the bad kind.
Yeah.
So we went to record an episode in New York with a internet friend of mine, an Instagram friend of mine
An internet friend.
I met her on the intranet.
Yeah.
Well, now Match.com is sending me all kinds of emails about women I might want to meet.
I know. That's so crazy.
I know.
The fact that you are on Match.com looking for women.
I am
and now
not
they're emailing
on
you.
Match.com. My special FBI fairy advertiser who sends me advertisements based on.
It's scary. That. Like, you're being watched.
I know. How do they know that I would want, if I was going to do Match.com, I would want.
I don't know. Why don't you tell me? Let me see your search history.
Go ahead. Look at my search history. It might be you porn, but I never search for lesbian porn ever. So that makes no.
Why are you not into?
Because if I'm not in there, right, I don't really care about it. But anyway, so we were going into the city. We were going to do a nice dinner after. We were going to record. She's younger than us, like a good amount younger than us, way more mature.
Well, yeah, she's a millennial, which is a big point of the whole story, because that was why we went on there.
So we went on. She came on our podcast to talk about millennial weddings, which is going to be a really fun episode that we're going to put out in a few weeks. And we went on because she wanted to have a couple on. To talk about fighting, because she's getting married, and I guess she wanted some strategies.
Well, she got some strategies.
No, she did not. So we get there, and we're already like, it's just brewing. Like, it's just getting, you know, the tension is rising. And then she starts talking about fighting, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the episode, and she's giving us wine, so maybe that didn't help very much the situation. Or she's not giving us wine. We asked for wine. I'm not going to throw her. I'm not going to put it on her. And I think we both were just like at our wits' end. She finally said in the middle, she's like, wow. She's like, okay, so you're actually fighting on this episode. And we were going at it.
Yeah.
So she either thinks she got really awesome material or she's going to scrap the whole thing. I'm not really sure.
It's going to be her biggest hit.
She definitely got great material.
Yeah, damn right.
So we will let you know when that comes out, maybe.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking after that, we fought it out. We wound up going out to dinner that night, and I like wanted to eat my brains out because I had been trying to eat healthy and I was so excited to go out for a good dinner. You totally ruined it. I like cried into my lobster mashed potatoes for 2 hours, and it was a total bummer.
That's why they were salty.
That's why I hope so.
Your tears, right?
Yeah. So I was just like, you know what, we need, sometimes when we fight, we need to remind ourselves of all the good things too. And goddamn, I was trying so hard to do that.
See, that's my problem. I have so many good, small, little things, but so few big things.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, it's, you have good, small things. You have big, bad things.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, okay. That's not the point. The point is that you do really, you know, you do have a lot of like we do, I think the little gestures for us, and a lot of times we don't stop and take the time and think about it. And I think we need to do that. So I wanted to, I think it's very important. I think that we've spoken in other episodes about that you've done big things for me. You know, you've surprised me and taken me to Mexico. You have, you bought me that ring that I was like begging for, that big ring. You've done big things. But it's really like the little everyday things. A lot of times life doesn't allow for those big grand gestures. And to wait for those is you're wasting so much time in the meantime that we should be like enjoying
the little moments. The big things are also, number one, very expensive, very time consuming, very, you know, hard to, it's like almost a goal you have to reach. But these small or like these small little things are everyday little tiny things just to show each other that you're thinking about them. You love them. You're, you know. And they're easy to do and they're cheap. So do them.
Right. Well, I think for the ring that we've spoken about before, the ring that I really wanted, I think I looked at that a little bit as some kind of proof for how you felt about me or that you were willing to spend the money on it, that I was important enough to do that. And obviously, looking back, I hate that I did that, but it was definitely, I think, a way that I thought that you could prove how you, that I was valuable enough to, I have no fucking clue, like just dumbass shit. So, so I don't know. I think it is important to talk about the small gestures, and I think that we do them a lot. And I did a lot of Instagram polling and a lot of Instagram asking for this. And our community gave like some really good insight into all of it. So I'll share some of that too.
Okay. I'm excited to hear those. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I wanted to start with us. And I don't know about other couples, if other couples have parents who were married and what their parents' marriages were like. But for us, when we first came into our relationship, I think we both brought, because we were so young, you know, 24 when we got married, we brought so much of what our parents' relationships were like. And we were trying to replicate those rather than, you know, create our own.
Yeah, problem number one right there.
Problem number one, yes. Which was a huge problem. So I thought, you know, things that we saw from our parents, I kind of wanted to talk about. And then they sort of turned into expectations for what we expected from each other as far as gestures and showing you care. But now it's luckily, thankfully, it's evolved. We no longer expect, for the most part, I think, the same things that our parents did for each other.
Yeah, it took 20 years, but we did it.
Right. But
we came from polar opposite upbringings. Like we saw in our parents, we're the complete opposites. So when you come when you and I come together and expect you're going to do for me what my mom does for my dad or vice versa, it causes some major fucking issues. And that's what happened.
All right. So what things do you remember your parents doing for each other? Like little gestures that would show each other how they felt. Like, do you remember stuff that they did?
No, I know that my dad wanted to be like the financial provider,
but that's not a small gesture.
No, it's not, because I don't remember the small things. Like, I'm just trying to think of what he did for the family versus what my mom did for the family. Like, I guess that's not what this is. Mm-mm. Yeah, I know. Small gesture. Yeah, I don't know. I can't.
Well, I know, like, maybe because I'm a woman, I notice more. But I remember your mom, she always used to carry your dad's stuff, his glass. You know, she kept track of everything for him. You know, she would always have, I remember he used to put his hand out at dinner and she would just hand him his glasses and hand him his floss after dinner and hand him, you know, this just.
Well, when he was done picking his teeth with his pinky at the table.
But she just. That was one thing that was sort of their thing. And I remember when we were first married or when we were first dating, even those little things you sort of expecting for me, like she used to hold the Easy Pass thing up for him. And I remember one time we're going through the Easy Pass and you were like, hold it up. And I was like,
why don't
what
you
the
know
fuck?
That?
But then on the opposite, I remember, you know, my dad used to do things for my mom, like, you know, take her car to be serviced. Because
right, which is bizarre.
It's not bizarre.
I know,
bizarre. That's what he used to do. She never took her car to get serviced or to the car washer. Like, that's just one thing I remember that he always did for her. And so I remember when we were first together, me saying to you, like, oh, my car needs to be serviced. And you were like, fucking congratulations.
Right.
Like,
so go bring it to the right, fucking so service.
And I was like, damn, really? You're not going to take my car to be serviced? You know? And you were like, what the? Why the fuck would right. I take your... And totally now, looking back, it makes sense. But at the time, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe he's not going to do that for me.
Right.
So I think our expectations were what we saw with our parents.
Yeah, and there were so many. Like, that's a few examples of... So many things mm-hmm. on the same level that.
Mm-hmm. At least I've never asked you to drive me to the beauty parlor. That's what my dad does for my mom every week. He drives her to the beauty parlor. It's literally, you leave their neighborhood. She doesn't drive very much at all.
There's like three places she'll drive. Right,
there's three
Our
places
house,
within a 1 mile radius.
CVS.
It's got to be a generational thing though, because your mom won't drive on the highway. My grandmother didn't drive. My other grandmother. I don't think we were even allowed to drive with her. She was such a bad driver. Like, I think it's a generational thing. I think a lot of women of that generation and the generation before just don't really drive.
Well, at what point, was there like a point where women were not even allowed to drive? Like, is that kind of in recent history or no? Do you have any idea?
I don't think so. I think no. Women were always allowed to
were
drive.
Were they? It's I don't
not
know.
Like voting.
Well, you say it like so nonchalant, like not like voting. Well, no. Of course they should be able to vote. Like, of course they should be able to drive.
Well, I know, of course you should be able to. But no, I don't think it was ever a law.
I don't know.
I think probably just a lot of women didn't do it.
I was just wondering if like it was illegal
maybe,
and
I
then
don't
it
know.
Slowly became
maybe
a thing.
We should Google.
And then...
No, it was never illegal. I don't think.
I don't know. I have no idea.
But my mom to this day, you know, she'll like literally you come out of their neighborhood and you make a left and a right, and you're at the hair salon, and she won't do it.
Well, she only makes rights.
Yeah, she makes a lot. Yeah, all right turns.
Three rights for a left, or whatever it is.
No, she just won't do it. So that's one thing that he. But I've never asked you to drive me to the hair salon.
No, right? But I would do it if you asked.
Oh, that's very sweet of you. Thank you.
Very sweet.
I will not bring your floss to dinner because that's disgusting. So that was one thing that I was just thinking that was that, you know, a lot, I think maybe not, maybe it's just us because our parents, we were so young when we got married and we didn't have a lot of other relationships to look at. You know, we didn't have a lot of other role models. I mean, I had families I babysat for and stuff that I was very close with that I saw their relationships, but I don't know if I saw them so, you know, closely that I knew the stuff that they did for each other. But I just think that our expectations going into it were, and so it made the gestures not even like nice because our expectations were far outweighing what the actual, you know, the things we were doing probably weren't getting appreciated because we were so concentrated on what we weren't doing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It kind of, I got lost a little bit there.
Oh, sorry.
But I was thinking about this point that I didn't want to lose. I was half listening to what you were saying anyway.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
That people now are in general kind of get married in their late 30s-ish to 40s, and that's kind of what's happening.
I don't think that late.
Early 30s to late
30s. I think
30s.
I had all this information when we did the wedding
Probably.
Episode. Yeah.
But later than we did. That's my point.
No, I think it's more like late 20s, early 30s. I mean,
is
not everybody.
20s?
I think as an average, I'm sure, I think that probably a lot more people are waiting into their 30s, maybe even their 40s. But I think more average is like upper 20s.
Well, we were 24, and I was right out of my parents' house. You were right out of college. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have time to, live on our own. Well, you did at college, but that doesn't kind of count as living as a single woman somewhere out of school working and, you know, living a life. So you didn't really get to grow to learn yourself. I didn't. I was living at my parents' house. That's what I saw every day. And then we moved in together.
Mm-hmm.
So it was easy for us to try to emulate our parents, and that's the way it's supposed to be because that's all we knew. So it was a very tough transition for us.
Yeah, and I'm curious if other couples go through that, where your expectations are what you saw of your parents because...
Right. Like a lot of people have 10 years out of their house, out of their parents' house.
Right.
And they don't see that for 10 years. And then they get married and they don't have that influence like we did.
Right. Right. Or, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. That's just a guess.
Yeah,
I don't know. Theorizing here.
So anyway, so John Gottman says, of the Gottman Institute, he says, for every one negative confrontation you have, there should be five positives. So if you look at it as, you know, they always say it should be like, you know, your gestures and your compliments and everything. If you look at it as like, you know, a bank or, you know, a savings account or whatever that you're constantly trying to stock up, you know, gestures and compliments or whatever and fill up this sort of like, quote unquote, account. And then you guys have a huge blowout and they're all sort of, or something happens where, you know, you're back to zero again and you're pissed at each other. Then you got to work back up to sort of, you know, build up whatever it is that's in the, I don't know if they call it an account. I don't know what the fuck they call it.
What's a bad thing? Like, what's
a blowout? Like we had probably like yelling at each other, screaming at each other.
I don't want to discredit this John Gottman. I'm sure he knows a lot more than I do.
Yeah, he does.
But it just sounds to me like a blowout is way, way, way bigger than five small gestures.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think five gestures make up for that kind of blowout.
I don't know. Maybe a bad thing is, you know, they talk about these emotional calls throughout the day. You do all these, there's thousands of emotional calls. Like when, you know, if I touch your shoulder, that's an emotional call. If I come and try to give you a kiss, that's an emotional call or a hug or whatever.
Right.
And you're supposed to, during those, you know, as the other person turn towards the person. So I guess a negative thing would be that if, you know, if I went in to try to give you, you know, a hug and you barely hugged me back or
right. That's
something
what I,
like
that's
that.
What I would think.
Yeah, maybe, you know, those little things. But I think what they're saying is that when the times are really, really bad, you have this sort of all these other things to think about to sort of offset the really bad stuff.
I think you need a lot more than five.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But I maybe for that stuff. Maybe he's talking about for every, you know, if you walk out of the house without giving a kiss goodbye, and you usually give a kiss goodbye, or I don't know exactly what he means by negative.
That's a perfect example. So I would say if you give a kiss goodbye every day for 5 days in a row, and on the sixth day I say something sarcastic that you don't like, that equals out.
I mean, I don't think you know it works exactly like that.
No, but I'm trying to bring it to a level.
We have a chalkboard in the kitchen. We should start tallying.
All right.
Like every time we're going to have two tallies, one for Adam and one for Danielle. Every time you do something nice and I do something nice, we're going to tally. And then if you fuck up or I fuck up, we erase everything and start fresh.
Okay.
No.
Oh. No.
No, it's too much work.
All right.
It's a good idea.
I kind of liked it.
We should create an app for
Invent
that.
Invent it.
But he says, so anyway, he says the ratio should be about 1 to 5, that, you know, you should have 5. I think what he's basically saying is that for every bad interaction you have, whatever it is, there should be 5 good ones.
Right.
And it's hard when you barely even see each other throughout the day and everything. I mean, you just got home how long ago? You know, not very long ago. You left this one. We barely see each other.
Yeah.
So there's not that much time during the week to do these gestures. I mean, I guess some of them have to be when you're away from each other, you know.
Well, that's why, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I was just going to use that. But yeah, it's so hard. And that's why we keep going back to the kiss goodbye, because it's every day, goodbye, I'm going to work and you're working on this thing. See you later. I'll see you in 10, 11 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And that's every day. So we don't have that time during the day, except for the texting, to really communicate or talk or show each other these little small gestures.
Right, and sometimes the kiss goodbye feels like forced. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't feel sometimes like natural. It feels like the, okay, this is what we do.
Well, I know you feel that way.
Yeah, I do.
I know you do,
mm-hmm.
And I can tell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of my problems with your small gestures.
Oh, we're not there yet.
Okay. I'm foreshadowing into my complaint about your small
exactly.
gesture.
Exactly. Yeah. But they another thing about kissing is that John Gottman also says that, you know, they call it the 6-second kiss. Have you had your 6-second kiss today? That you're supposed to kiss for 6 seconds. Who the fuck do
right,
people
this,
do this?
This John Gottman, he's not going to make it. Number
he's
one,
he's not going to make it
because
he's been around for like 30 years. He has his own lab. I think he has his own like university. And
nobody,
you marriage a martini.
Nobody's 6-second. Do you have to count in your head while you're kissing?
Well, that's the thing, is that how do you know, number one? I guess it's like a, but my mom has been saying this for years. I don't know if she got it from Gottman or not. I would assume not. But she has been saying that for years. I remember being younger and my parents kissing and being like, I'm going to vomit. And my mom would be like, well, you have to kiss your partner every day. Blah, blah, blah. Like she always
Really?
Felt like that. Yes, it's disgusting.
How many seconds does your mom?
I don't know. I don't want to think about it.
Is it a tongue kiss? Ugh. Is it a kiss on the cheek for 6 seconds?
No, it's not a kiss on the cheek for 6 seconds.
Like on the forehead, like goodbye. Here's one, two,
stick your
three.
Tongue in the other person's ear for 6 seconds. Oh God. No, I think it's just.
No, but I'm curious.
He has books and all this stuff that you could be looking
all
into.
Right,
this
picture a kiss goodbye. That could never be a 6 second. That's like a half a second. Mm-hmm. So is a kiss goodbye supposed to be?
Well, for us, it's half a second. The only time we really kiss is like when we're having sex.
Yeah.
We're not like, we don't like.
Make out.
Or maybe sometimes if we're like coming back from dinner in the back of an Uber or something. Yeah. Like but we never like around the house. Like I don't think our kids have ever seen us like kiss. We'll hug. Yeah. Or like embrace for a while.
Yeah, but isn't that just as good for a kid to see? Like,
yeah, no. I think
better. I don't know if they should see.
Right. I mean,
action.
I think we hug a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't think we. And I really like kissing you when we kiss.
Yeah, me too.
But I don't know that I need to like be in the middle of my kitchen. Like, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. It sounds kind of nice.
Does it?
Yeah, a little bit.
All right.
Yeah, maybe our kids should see that.
Like if I threw you on the counter and started like kissing you really hard.
I would throw my back out. No good. 20 yeah. years ago would have been great. 10 years right. ago even. Not now. My lower back can't handle it.
If we're going to move on, we probably should take a break.
Okay. I want to get into what you think I'm really good at as far as little gestures go. And then I'm going to talk about where you're lacking.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Getting back to Gottman, one thing that he also says, and I think it is true and I think it's helpful, is that it's just as important how you react to somebody's gesture. And again, like I said, turning towards somebody. So if someone does it, you know, if you are talking to me and telling me about your day after I've asked you about your day, or you're telling me something that's important to you, how I react to that is just as, you know, is big. That's also a gesture. So,
yes, I agree with that.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about it, I'm sure. But me mm-hmm. being on my phone or glancing at my phone every
Don't
30 seconds.
Don't minimize
I'm not trying to minimize anything. Okay. I'm just saying that our reactions to the other person's gesture is also really important. So the fact that you come up to me and kiss me goodbye, and I know that when we're distant and we're going through a hard period, it is really hard for me to like act like I really want to kiss you back.
Yeah, I know your kiss. Your
yeah. Yeah. So, but and when you're in a fight, those things are really hard. But it also is important to try to do those things. And I need to get better at that. I know that. I need to, the way I react to that stuff, but sometimes it's damn hard when you're mad at somebody.
Yeah. I think it could even be a little bit better when you're not mad at me.
Okay.
So I agree with Gottman on this one. I like this guy. He's going to do well.
Okay, maybe he'll come on Marriage and Martinis. Right. I think that he does need to get it with the time, so I think that we should be able to replace a six-second kiss with 6 kiss emojis throughout the day.
Right. I like that.
That would work well for us. Wait, we're really good at emojis.
What is the 6 second thing?
I think it's just a number that they put in there. What else do you say? Have you had your long kiss today?
Well, that could be
2 hours.
A kiss goodbye can't. I'm going back to this again. The kiss goodbye.
He's
can't
not saying goodbye.
Seconds.
He's not saying a kiss goodbye. Okay. A kiss. I think if you're sitting in bed at night, or you're supposed to, you know, some people. I think you even talked about this on the Spice It Up episode where you were like, you know, that sometimes you make out during commercials, that should be a thing, that's something that people do. They watch a show together, and then during the commercial, they kiss, or they, mm-hmm. well, I don't know what they do. But
right, and then you have to stop. when the show comes back on.
And then
on.
The show comes back on. So maybe that, I don't know, maybe people do have a routine with that. I do like the concept of it. Mm-hmm. I like the idea and you know, but we don't do that. And I do think that kissing somebody like passionately or even not passionately when you're distant or angry at them is a really hard thing to do.
Yeah, it's not even. Yeah, you can't even do it.
Yeah, I probably couldn't.
No, I'm not saying you. I'm saying like I don't think in general when you're mad at somebody, you don't mm-hmm. want to kiss. You don't want to be.
I know, but if it's your partner and you're trying, I don't know.
All right, whatever.
It's hard.
What do we know?
wow. So what did you come up with for things for me that I do well? Did you come up with anything I do well?
I do. I have some things.
Wow, that's really
good. I do think you have some things that you do well for me.
Well, that's amazing.
I struggled a little bit with finding the small gestures because like I said, even if we're not fighting, even if we're everything's good, that kiss goodbye, the little thing you're not very on top of, very good at responding to. I you're so much better at the big stuff. And I know that's kind of getting away from this because the things that I was thinking about is how you're always there for me when I'm stressed and I need to be like calmed down and brought down. And that's huge. And I look at that as like a big thing, but it's just even just a small thing maybe for you just to talk to me, be there for me, comfort me, and just bring me down and just so I'm not so stressed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big one for me. Another one is that you're really...
And like, can we add that it's usually at 2 a.m. and you've woken me from asleep?
I know.
I just want to... That makes it a little bit bigger of a gesture when it's at 2 a.m.
That's what I said. You're there for the big
no,
stuff.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about giving you time? Oh, my God.
I have it. I have it. Well, I was just stretching.
Sure, taking you a long fucking time.
A big little thing is that you'll offer for me not to have to go to like a school function
mm-hmm.
or a birthday party
mm-hmm.
or interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge small gesture.
Mm-hmm.
They're big gestures. That's big. That's
right.
Not
that does feel big.
That's not a pat on the back.
I know. Like, I went to high school orientation. Oh no, high school back to school night a week ago by myself.
Yeah, you've said to me like, I know you've worked all day and you worked hard today. You're stressed out. Just come home and relax.
Mm-hmm.
That's big.
Damn, I'm nice. Yeah. Keep them coming.
Also, when things are like good, the texting. That's one of my favorite things is the small little
text that goes both ways with us. Because when
we
I'm
do
pissed
all day. Right.
Or when one of us is pissed, that when I'm pissed, those texts are long and like and involved. But yeah.
Like then, 20 in a row.
Right.
20 paragraphs.
And by the way.
Yeah. But those cute little emoji one-liner texts mm-hmm. that I get. It's a big deal for me because I need that when I'm at work all day.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get one of those possibly every couple hours and we do it back and forth a little bit, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
I do too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're good at texting like that. You have to be sort of when you're, you know, both like when you're not together a lot of the time. I mean, that's one thing today that you have to maybe also with the 6 second kiss and everything, maybe when our parents, they also couldn't have much communication during the day. First of all, my dad was a doctor. So he was in the hospital all the time. He had a beeper. So like he couldn't talk to my mom unless she beeped him and they need to find a phone, call her like, you know, and then it would like if he calls her, was she going to be like, just wanted to say hi.
Right.
Like you can't like, hello, I'm in the middle of a surgery. You can't.
Yeah.
It's not. So back
in the day,
when they were young, like when they were married, it was much harder. So maybe that time together, even not to say it was more important, but those 6 second kisses and whatever it was, you don't have that connection during the day that we're able to have now with technology.
Yes, because number one, we both hate the phone. Mm-hmm. So we don't answer the phone if anybody calls unless
you called
it's important.
Me today.
I did call you today. Mm-hmm. So, that brings up a good point. We don't even like calling each other, right? So we don't even want to talk on the phone to each other. We don't want to talk on the phone to anybody
mm-hmm.
because you can get your point across in 2 seconds with a text or an emoji or whatever versus a 3 minute conversation. And who wants to do that, right?
Right.
So when we're just texting each other, just that quick text to let you know, say, hey, like we'll text each other like, hey, exclamation point. And that's it.
What? No, we say more than that.
No, but it starts that way. It's just like, I could be at work and I'm in the middle of something.
I'm thinking about you.
And I stop and I just text you like, hey. Mm-hmm. And I just wait for your response. Right. I'll text back an emoji and then it's back to work. You know?
Yeah, and we'll say like, I miss you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Just quick little, not 20 paragraph texts and 20 in a row. And
right. No, those I save for when I'm upset. I think that the texting is big for us. That really sometimes saves us. And especially like, even sometimes when you're mad, I can stay mad through the day. Sometimes when I'm mad, a few hours will go by and you'll go to work. And after a few hours, I'll be like, I don't know, I kind of miss him. Like, I kind of, you know, don't want to be in a fight. I don't like the way that feels. I hate being in a fight. So sending a text at that moment is sort of like a, okay, I'm over it. Like, let's not do this. So it's sort of like a truce, you know, peace offering or, you know, I just don't want to do this. So, All right. All right. Should I go first about what I like that you do?
Sure. You have a whole page for that?
No, you're good at the little things. You are. I've spoken a lot about, especially on Instagram, that you bring me coffee, which is a huge thing for me.
Can we expand upon why that's a huge thing in our house?
Because I sleep so little and our children have me up all the time.
I'm usually downstairs first. Mm-hmm. And we don't have like a traditional coffee maker where you make a pot of coffee.
No, we have a snob coffee maker.
We have a snob coffee maker. I think we even talked about it before, where it grinds the beans and that
our kids aren't going to go to college because we have a snob coffee maker.
And it's kind of small, so it only holds like a little bit of water, maybe for two cups. And when I have to make the coffee, it's for each cup separately. I have to empty the grinds. You
God
have to
damn,
fill
life is
the
hard.
Water thing. You have to, so it's not just pouring the cup. I just want to exaggerate
I
how
know.
Impressive
no,
it is.
No, I know. People think they have problems. Yeah, no, it is. When you first wake up and you go downstairs and you see that the water is empty and the beans are empty and you have to like empty the grounds and everything, you're like, motherfucker, because you just want like a cup of coffee and there's four steps you have to take before getting it. No, and you do that a lot of times at night too. You'll fill it and everything.
I prep
That's
it
a good
night.
Gesture too, because I go downstairs and I'm like, oh, he it's took all care ready. Of it last night.
Grounds are empty, water's filled, beans are filled.
I never do
cups
that
in
shit.
The thing.
Mm-mm. Yep. I never do that. But that is big for me when you come up and I see you walking through the door with a cup of coffee and I'm like, oh, I can stay in bed like another 10, 15 minutes. That's huge.
Yep.
And I know that you know that I appreciate that and you do it.
Yes.
And the sleep thing is very important to me that, you know, on the weekends that you let me sleep and I try to let you sleep also, but I think you don't make me feel guilty about it ever.
Not anymore.
Not anymore for a little. Yeah, you used to.
Well, that was a big problem. That was what we were talking about before, expectations of how I grew up versus you, how you grew up, because that didn't happen in my household.
Yeah, we have opposite energy levels, or we did have opposite. You're slowing down some, which I like.
You've transformed me.
No, you're just getting old.
I'm getting old.
So, but for a long time, yeah, your family is high energy.
Yes.
And my family
is not.
Is almost dead.
I was going with is not, right. But you can.
So we came from, we've spoken before, but my mom doesn't wake up until 4 p.m. And I wake up early. I'm up early. I don't ever sleep past 7 a.m.
No.
So, but then I need to like rest, you know, I need my.
Yeah, I figured
that
out.
When my blood sugar drops, I need a good hour.
I figured that out more than a few years ago and realized, all right, it's if we want happy Danielle.
Yeah,
Danielle,
it's so true.
Yeah,
it's so it benefits everyone for real.
Exactly,
it does. It benefits everyone if I get that nap time, and I only need like an hour, and then I'm good to go, and then I can go out, I can have fun. But I need that hour, and you're always really good about that. And,
yes,
And I appreciate that a lot. Honestly, a lot of the things that I really appreciate you about you are the things that you don't do. I don't know if that makes sense, but I'll explain.
Okay.
So Or that you do, but it's not an actual action. So, for instance, you'll come home sometimes and there's a ton of dishes in the sink. The family room is a mess. The kids' toys are all over. Jonah's toys are all over. He's the only one who plays with toys anymore. And you'll walk in and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you don't look around. You don't stare. You don't sigh. You don't make any. And I know you like a clean home. Like, you came from that. That was your upbringing. We fought about all of that for a long time. But now you come home and, like, I know you don't even look around anymore. You come home, you sit on the couch. You're like, you want to just enjoy the time together. And I don't worry about that judgment anymore. And that's a big deal to me because, you know, my day is crazy and I know it might not seem like it, but it is. And the kids come home and, you know, there's homework and I'm driving them around, extracurricular activities. There's so much going on. And then I come through the door at 6 o'clock and I'm like, fuck, he's going to be home within an hour, but I still have to help them with homework and this and that. And so stuff doesn't get done. And whereas you used to, I think, be very judgmental about it, you're not anymore. So that is a little thing, but it's also a really big thing for me. You know, that you used to peruse the room and like look around and
I used to get irate. And
that's another way to say it.
I would clean it up. I would do it. I did.
All right, calm down. That's I don't remember true. You ever cleaning up.
Oh, let's not go to the mental load episode.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, let's not because fuck that shit.
Yeah.
Okay. And also, this is a big one for me, too. And these are things that I think we need to think about. Also, the little things that, like, the fact that, you know, we have two dogs. They're super big pains in the ass.
Yes.
But we love them very much.
Yes, you do.
You did not grow up with dogs. What are you laughing at? You love them, too. Come on.
I do love them.
You do.
They are pains in the ass.
They are.
The fucking barking drives me
okay
crazy.
Yes, one barks, the other one barks, they don't even know what they're barking at. It's
other than that, I love these dogs.
Well, they also poop in the house sometimes, which is why Ruggable is so good. It's not even an advertisement, it just is. But they really do. They're important. It's important to me. I'm a dog fanatic.
We have dogs because you want dogs.
Okay. All right, well, let's not go there.
Okay.
We could do a whole episode on that.
Okay.
Wait a minute. We first got a dog because you wanted a dog. I said, let's wait. That was way back.
Tessa?
Yeah, it was our first dog. But yes, I could not live without dogs.
Right.
And these two dogs happen to be, we love them so much, but they are a lot of work.
Yes.
And you never, you know, you joke sometimes about them.
Sending them back to Puerto Rico
yeah. to meet their family and whatever. But I know down deep, you really do love them. And you don't ever, when they poop in the house, you're like, oh, they pooped in the house again. You're never, I know you're like looking over. Yeah. See, they're so cute. I know.
I'll take a picture. All right. I'll take a picture of him right now mm-hmm. so we can
find his missing family in Puerto Rico and send him back.
No, I'm putting it on petmatch.com.
No, but you know how important they are to the kids. You know how important they are to me. They're important to you. But what I'm saying is that you didn't grow up with dogs. You're not used to the dog mess. You got to get rid of that microphone.
Yeah.
You're not used to any of that, but yet you are so good about it. So what I'm saying is a lot of the times it's these little things. It's not something you actually do actively. I mean, you never fucking feed them. You don't take them to the vet. You don't
do
any of that stuff.
I do feed them.
Once in a blue moon. They'd be dead if I relied on you to feed them.
No, give me some credit. I do. I try to help out
and feed. When I ask you to.
Well, first of all, we only have to feed one of the dogs. The other one doesn't really eat the dog food.
Yes, he eats the dog food.
Only when there's another dog walking by the house, and then he has to go eat his food.
Right, in case the dog outside is going to come in and eat his food. But anyway, what I'm saying is it's not even something that you're not actively doing it. It's just something that I appreciate maybe more about your overall attitude about it.
Thank you.
So that to me is like a gesture that you could constantly be like, oh my God, these fucking dogs and they pooped in the house and blah, blah, blah. And they ripped. I mean, we're looking at a chair, a $1,000-something chair that.
Oh, I took a picture. We'll put it on for the.
Ripped up. I've posted it before on Instagram. Okay. And you don't say anything. You were upset for like 2 seconds. That's a big deal to me. Okay. Ways that we can both be better, because going forward, I think there are ways we could both do more. And a lot of the ways, it's like a love, the five love languages, or I don't know, we got to do that because we haven't done that yet. And I know a lot of people have been requesting that we do it. But learning what, you know, the gestures that you want to do for your partner, I think are gestures that you, that they want you, like, that they personally would like. Mm-hmm. Like, you used to buy me flowers all the time.
Yeah.
I fucking hate flowers.
I know. So I learned.
Right. But what I'm saying is that that was a really, really sweet gesture, but it wasn't a gesture for me. You know what I mean?
It right. It was more of like a generic, like.
Yeah. It's, I don't like, not that I don't like flowers. I love flowers. I would love to get like monthly flowers delivered that are gorgeous that I picked out that we could put, but. As
that don't a, have to be taken care of.
Well, yeah, that, that don't have to be taken right. care of, but more so, I think it's. You call place, you order flowers. Like, I just don't see, I personally don't see the romantic gesture in it that everybody else does.
What if I
personally.
What if I cut the flowers myself and
from
pick
our
them
neighbor's
myself?
Yard?
Would that mean more to you?
No.
Or you just don't care?
I don't care. Yeah. I don't care. And I mean, like, your mom loves flowers. Mm-hmm. Like, your dad used to send her flowers and she used to get like fucking ecstatic.
Yes.
So, awesome. Like, send her flowers for every fucking occasion. Awesome. But for me, you would keep sending me flowers. Like, I kind of don't even care. Like, I don't want flowers.
Right.
I don't care. Like, you know, send me Doritos. I don't care. Like, something that,
well,
you know,
for me.
Like lots of cheese. But so you also want to think about what does the person want? Because sometimes a gesture may seem amazing, but if the other person doesn't give a shit about it, well, I don't know. Is it really that great? So anyway, so the gestures that we that, what gestures for you could I do that you personally would feel like really showed that I care? If you right. say do the fucking dishes, I will castrate you.
Oh, that's a good one for me too, by the way, that I do
that
really
well. That
you
should well. Do the dishes?
No, that I do the dishes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I do a lot.
Yeah, when I'm upstairs napping a lot, I'll come downstairs yes. and the kitchen is clean.
Yes.
Yes.
Almost every time.
That is on the, that is high on the wetness radar.
Well, but going back to how I grew up and how I like to clean. I really do. I like to clean up. I like to be lazy too.
All right, calm down with the light. You like to clean up.
But I do. But when you're sleeping, when or you're not.
You don't
you're
even clean up. After sex, I have to throw you a towel.
That's true. When I'm in the mood, I like to clean. All right. How could you be better? Let me count the ways.
Yeah, exactly. No, don't get poetic about this shit.
No, but how you started in the beginning, you need to be more present and more in the moment
mm-hmm.
with your phone.
That is correct.
Yes. Now, I would love to make it easy and blame it on
the rain.
Your
oh,
work.
Sorry.
You work. Blame it on the rain. You.
That was terrible.
I was like,
blame it on the rain.
Blame it on the rain.
Did you not even listen to Millie
blame
Vanilli?
Blame it on the rain.
Thank you
yeah,
for correcting
yeah.
that.
Okay.
Okay.
I was thinking God. Print at first. That was weird.
That was really bad. You're yeah, thinking sorry. Purple rain.
Purple rain. That's what
yeah,
I was thinking
of. Yeah, but that doesn't even sound like purple,
purple
rain.
Purple rain. Isn't that how it goes?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay, I apologize.
That's why I'm not a singer. All right. All right. So how could you be better? All right. At first, it's easy to say, well, you're working on the social media and the podcast, but this goes way back even before all that started. Now it's just worse because you're actually doing a lot of work while you're on your phone, but we cannot have a conversation with you without you being there more than 40% acknowledging whatever we're saying.
That is correct. I am an addict to my phone.
You are an addict.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I know. I am an addict, and I blame Apple.
Oh.
Because they sue them. Are creating.
Put a class action lawsuit against Apple.
I know. No, I'm serious. It is something that, like, I put it down, and my hand just automatically, like, I'm not even thinking about it. I just fucking go out and reach for the phone. I'm not trying to blame the product. but I, it's not even like, it's like a reflex. It's like I can't not do it.
Spoken like a true addict.
Spoken like a true addict. Like I'm in denial.
Yeah.
No, I'm not in denial though. No, I know that I. Yes.
Yeah, but I see it with me. I see it with the kids.
I know it's terrible with the kids. And then when I try to talk to the kids, I say, "Put your phone down."
Right.
I'm sure they're like, "What the fuck?"
Right. You're like, "Why are you not listening? Why the fuck are you not listening to me?"
Totally.
Yeah. And I don't yell at the kids because I'm like, "Fuck you."
I know.
Yeah.
I need to. And one of the big things that I read when I was researching for this is that a really big thing that you can do for somebody. When I was researching in a few weeks, we have a friendship expert coming on too. Yes, they do exist. We have a friendship expert coming on too. And one of the things that, you know, they say, and one of the things that so many researchers say is that when you're with somebody, your phone should not even be out. It should not even be on the table. Like during the day when the kids are at school, fine. I need to sometimes check my phone if I don't go to lunch with my friends very much, but if I am at lunch with my friends or out somewhere, I do worry about the nurse calling or whatever, but when you and I are together having a conversation at home and the three kids are upstairs, there is absolutely no reason my phone should be 100%.
In every situation, if your grandmother is sick, if your kids are at a friend's house, if somebody you know is dying, keep your phone out.
But it also goes back to the fact of our parents did not have access to that. Like they survived just fine.
They did just fine. But it's nice to know we have access to if somebody needs us.
Or at a certain point say, I need a minute to check my phone, or you know, at this time I'm gonna check my phone or whatever. But I am literally always like this, like flipping my phone over.
I'm okay with if we're out to dinner and we have both of our phones and we both take 5 minutes and do whatever we do with our phones and then we get back
to
our conversation. Exactly. How much can you really talk to
each other? Well, that's why we need our own questions at dinner from the emails.
Exactly.
Because sometimes it is true. You're like, you sit there and it's like you're on the spot trying to think about what to talk about and you're like, shit, like what do I really...
so much to talk
about. Right. That's where those questions are so good that we have. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. I have more.
I bet you do.
You can be better at. Mm-hmm. I want more of the small stuff. Okay. Now I know this comes back to.
Are you talking about my weight?
No, I am not.
You're damn straight.
That was very fast. No. Now I know you're not feeling it a lot because of we've been having these big blowouts and these problems with each other.
Yeah,
and
last
fighting.
Year we've had a year. We have had a year.
Correct. But I don't think in the last 10 years you've been quite as good with the little, like, I like to make sure when we're walking in the street that I hold your hand.
Mm-hmm.
I like to touch like the small of your back as we're walking.
Do you?
Oh my God. Yeah, the acknowledgement thing too, I'd like you to work on.
Okay.
I need you to be better at those small little things.
Like more physical affection?
Like I was just saying, the goodbye kiss, when we're not fighting, when things are good, they still suck because you're not good at it.
Yeah, I'm not good at
it. Yeah.
Okay.
Like those little things, like the small physical touches and things and like those little things. But if you don't want to, that's okay. And we'll talk about that. I want to.
I think it has been. Listen, okay. Here's where I'm not gonna dwell on this for too much. But we've spoken a lot about the past year stuff that's come out about lying and betrayal. I'm not gonna get into it. But I do recall when we did the episode back in February with Jody Utter, my good friend Jody Utter, who I love, who talked to us about, no, it wasn't February, it was May, who talked to us about, you know, her husband's infidelity. And she was so open about everything. And not that you cheated on me or anything, but one thing that she did say, and I think anybody who's been hurt by somebody else can relate to this, hurt in a big way by somebody else, is that she doesn't ever want it to get to a point where he coasts through just forgetting about what happened, because he should in a sense always be actively working to not make up for maybe what he did, but to show her that he's not going back to that place.
I completely agree.
Yeah. So and wait,
I preface with what I said with that, just so you know.
Okay. So maybe sometimes I am like, and I'm not saying this is right. I'm saying this is maybe my inner dialogue to myself is, you know what? He can do a little bit more than I do because, and I'm not saying it's right. So everybody out there who's like, damn, she's a bitch. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying.
Nobody's saying that.
I'm just saying that my inner dialogue sometimes is maybe like, no, you know what? He hurt me really badly. And sometimes I think that he can be making up for it in these small gestures.
And
Jody said that and I agreed with her.
And me too. But what's your excuse for before that? When I still think you were not good at those things.
Was there a before that?
Oh, come on.
I don't remember. I just don't remember back then. No, I'm not kidding. I really don't. I don't remember not doing that.
All right.
It's been a long time.
All right.
But no, I agree. I would love to get back to a place. Love to get back to a place where we're just constantly showing physical affection to each other. I would love it.
Yeah.
And the love is there. I think the fear of something happening again is also there. So I get worried about getting too close. And I know a lot of women message me all the time, and men too, that say, you know, I have that same fear, that the fear of letting go of the inhibition, letting go of the fear, and just letting ourselves be, because when is the other shoe going to drop again?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit of a, okay, I don't want to let myself get too comfortable and too involved and too, you know, like in love with each other, because then, or I don't know, am I going to get disappointed again? Part of that is, but I also have to release that. I have to let go of that if, you know, at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
I agree.
I know. We're working on it. We're totally working on it.
All right. We have to take one more break. But not because we have ads. We have to make new cocktails. So we'll be right back.
Okay.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
A big thing I wanted to talk about is compliments, because mm-hmm. I think as far as gestures go, compliments go a long way. And I think a lot of times I think has become the new, you know.
What do you mean?
I think I say I think a lot now.
Oh, is that your new thing?
I think so.
You know?
I think all it right. is.
Well, you know that you hate my compliments.
Okay.
So is that what brought you to this?
No. Yes. A little bit. I think compliments are key in a lot of ways in as far as little gestures go. And I think a lot of times, I'm going to notice every time I do it. When we wait until we're dressed up for something to give a compliment, or I don't know, some kind of big occasion to give a compliment, when really sometimes the little moments are the times that it's the best compliment.
Okay. Explain.
I think
damn, take a shot.
We talked in the monogamy episode about, what's her name? Myrta.
Do you do research when you reference older episodes?
No.
You just know it?
I just know it.
Damn. I can't do it. Like,
well, but you don't do nearly as much research.
No,
as
not
I
at
do.
All. I just can't.
So Myrta, I think was her name. I'm going to have to research that because I'm not 100% sure. But during the monogamy episode, she's a big researcher of women. And she says that a woman's biggest turn on is her feeling of being desired.
Mm-hmm.
So our biggest way that we feel wanted is to feel wanted. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does.
But
yeah.
we want more than anything to feel like our person, our partner, wants us. And one of the greatest ways to do that is through compliments. And quite honestly, I do sort of think your compliments suck.
Yes, I know you do.
Yeah, and I'm not alone in that, because I did a lot of...
If you can't tell, Danielle's on her phone right now.
No, I'm sorry. My sister is about to get on the plane to see my niece, and so I'm a little preoccupied with that, because her plane is late, and I don't like when she flies. I fly just fine. I don't like when she flies. Who's going to listen to me, bitch, if she's in the sky? So anyway, I feel like... where was I? Was I
exactly. See, this is my... I'm glad my thing is validated.
I am not alone. I am not alone in this, because when I put something out on Facebook to all our followers, a lot of people felt the exact same way I do. And I didn't break it down into men and women. I sort of wish I had. But most women felt like, almost 70% of women, or I'm sorry, of people felt like they are not, they don't think that their partner does a good job complimenting them. And when I asked, okay, so what are the compliments you usually get?
Right.
It was, you look nice. You look good.
Nice. They can't use the word nice.
I like that compliment. I like that outfit. It compliments you nicely. I like that shirt. Oh, is that a new haircut? Is that like...
Oh, so they noticed the haircut.
No,
that was very
nice.
Not really.
But it was all about a generic... what you would say to your kid. You know, if I get dressed up, I expect my dad to say to me, you look nice. Fine. I expect that from him. Mm. I do not want that from my husband, my partner, whomever.
I never said to you, you look nice. Well, maybe not recently.
Okay, you look good. But you don't actually...
No, I'd be like, damn, you look good.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
You have never said, damn, you look good.
I have.
We wouldn't have even gone out to dinner. We would have been upstairs in five seconds. You have never said, damn, you look good. All right, maybe when I was like skinny, you said that.
Right, so it's, yeah, come on.
No, I'm serious.
No, that's not even true.
You're very good at complimenting me during sex. You're very good at being like, talking about my boobs or my body parts.
That's another thing.
But I don't want to wait till sex.
I was never even a talker during sex. Mm-hmm. And I did because I knew that's what you wanted.
That's true. That is true.
And so I was able to.
Right. But yeah.
No, but.
But I think that the compliments, I did a meme this week on Instagram and on Twitter and everything. I made a meme that said, all right, let's do an experiment.
Okay.
The first night you take your wife out for date night, tell her you look nice. The second night, tell her, damn, you're the sexiest woman I've ever seen. And come back and tell me which one you get laid. It's going to be door number two every time.
Yeah, but if you do door number one.
Door number two. No, door number two. That was the wrong wording. No, it's going to be the second option.
Right.
Stay away from door number two. It's going to be the second option every time.
Yeah. Never use the word nice. That's what I said. You can't do it.
No, it's just a generic compliment. I want to know what it is like. We've been out with friends before. I don't want to compare, but we've been out with friends before where I've had a friend who walked away and the husband said, damn, look at that ass. And I was like, God damn it. I want my husband to say that.
Oh, but I've said that to you. I haven't said.
Yeah. Okay.
Say exactly.
When you're behind me having sex, you might say that.
Well, okay.
But I don't want to wait till that. I want it to be a regular occurrence and I want it to be said where I believe it.
Yeah, I've said those things. You just don't even recognize it.
I don't think that's true.
Okay.
But I think compliments are a huge deal. I think I can up my compliment game too, for sure. I'm not just saying you. I too can, but I don't think you need it as much as me.
I know,
you want me to tell you how tall you are.
Yeah, please. Be like, damn, you look 6'2".
Damn, you're 5'8", but you look 6'2".
That would be so hot.
Yeah.
We would not even make it to dinner if you said that to me.
See? We talked in the Good Moms, Bad Choices episode, which if you have not listened to that, please do so.
Yeah.
And go follow them because, oh my God, we love them. I'm going to Atlanta this week.
Oh, God. I think you just popped your cherry again talking about going with them.
Yeah. I'm going to Atlanta this week. I'm speaking at a podcast convention, which why anyone's letting me speak? They obviously don't know me very well.
No, come on.
No, I'm excited.
Yeah, you should
it's going to be
fun. It's
going
to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Yeah. It's the first women's podcasting convention ever, and I'm a part of it, which I'm super proud of. But they are going to be there too, which is the highlight of it all. But what I loved the most, as much as I love Erica and Jamila, is what I love the most is that Erica said she gained 70 pounds when she was pregnant, as did I. And I said I lost 40 of it. So that we both said that when we were pregnant, our partners telling us we were beautiful was a really big deal to us. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a big thing. And that didn't stop. You know, I still have had three kids. I still, my body is still what it is from having three kids. And, you know, as much as I, yes, could I do 1,000 things to look 25 again? I guess so. I'm not. But I also think that I want to, no matter what I choose to do, whether I choose to do that or don't choose to do that, I still want to feel beautiful. And I think that our partners have a lot to do with that. So,
I think you're beautiful.
Oh, by me.
So, I will.
Thank you. Okay. So anyway, I just think that that's a big thing because for us, whether you've had a baby, whether you haven't had a baby, as we're getting older, society tells us all kinds of things about how we're supposed to look. And we want to know that our partners see us as beautiful no matter what those standards are. And I think that's important. So I'm just telling you that
okay.
I think that's important.
Sure. I agree with you. And
yeah,
I will
I think
not
we've
say you look
through.
Nice. Ever.
No, I want to know fucking exactly what you see. Yeah. But my friends are really good at that. I go out with my friends and they're like, they give me all kinds of amazing compliments. And I'm like, I fucking love you. That's why I need good girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
Because they tell me things that you don't. Oh, another thing that would be really great.
Yes.
Is if you could show me that you're going to communicate with me. Like, come out of your comfort zone when we're not feeling like the best with each other, that you don't stonewall me and
shut
walk
down.
Away. Yeah, that's right. A huge thing for me. That if you were to show me that you were going to sit down, look at me, look me in the eye, and talk it out, that would be amazing.
Yeah, that's something that I have to definitely work
oh,
on.
Oh, yes, you do.
Be better at.
Right.
I know.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that you need to sit down and not like, when we're fighting, you talk to me from the other room. Like, you keep a room's distance.
Do I really?
Yeah,
from
yeah,
the
yeah.
Other room?
Oh, yeah. Like, I'll be sitting in here in the morning with my coffee and
in
my
where?
Computer.
Nobody can see us.
In the bar room.
So you're in the bar room?
I'm not drinking alcohol, though. I'm drinking coffee in here. I just like the aesthetic of it in here. And you don't even step foot into the room because, yeah. You know, if you step foot into the room, you're entering, like, a conversation zone.
Yeah.
So you stay out of it. And if you didn't, if you sat down and were like, okay, let's talk it out,
mm-hmm.
I would be ecstatic. That would be amazing to me. So that's a, you know, that's a big thing to me. Yeah. So just, you know, if you could connect with me when I'm upset, that's a big deal.
Okay. I have some things.
Oh, yeah. We already talked about those.
No, I have. Oh. I know I have other things.
I know you do.
Okay.
Wait, but I wanted to get into. I think we need to do these things with ourselves and our kids too. I think
okay.
The little gestures is not just important for our partners. I think it's important for us too. Like during the anxiety episode, I talked about the fact that over a course of a weekend, if I have a lot of plans, I get super stressed out. And when
yes.
I'm done with the weekend and I've completed all these plans, I take a minute and I like sit and I'm like, damn, I did a good job. And I know for a lot of people, that's not a big deal because a lot of people can do that with no problem. For me, that's a big deal as an anxiety sufferer, as somebody who's sort of become an introvert over the years. That's a big deal to me. So I take the time and I sit with myself and I say like, I'm proud of you.
Okay.
I do. I know.
I know. I don't mean to laugh.
Yeah, because you're at home while I'm fucking taking the kids to do all these things.
I don't mean to laugh. I don't mean to like mm-hmm. minimize what you're doing. I really don't.
No, I know. Because most of my friends would laugh at me too because they're so good at this stuff. I'm not good at that. I'm not good at having multiple plans in a weekend. And I'm talking about going from party to bat mitzvah to wedding to, you know, there are a lot of weekends where we do that stuff. Or not a lot of weekends.
No, not a lot.
Okay, fine. 20% of the time. But when we do that, I take a minute at the end and I'm like, you did a good job. I do. I pat myself on the back for it. Mm. Or you know, I think as women, I'm not going to speak for you men, but I think as women, when we schedule a gynecologist appointment, we should also schedule a massage appointment. Like, I believe in that stuff. I think that those are the things in life that we should do to ourselves, like for ourselves, that's important. You know, when you take a week and you schedule a lot of shit with your kids, then you also decide that you're going to go to the movies and sit in the movies with them. Like, these are the things that make life. You have to do the hard shit, but then there should also be the good stuff. And we should take the time to do that.
Okay. So, like, as guys, should we, after we get a prostate exam?
You need a prostate exam.
Okay.
In a big way.
So, after you do that, you should schedule a
happy ending.
Sure. a massage or whatever. Because it's kind of the same thing, right?
Sure.
You're being vulnerable to the doctor.
100%.
You're spreading your...
Although I think
cheeks.
A prostate exam and a happy ending can be one and the same, from what
a
I've
prostate?
Heard.
Really?
I don't know. I know the prostate leads a lot of time to orgasm.
Well, only when it's
doctor.
Somebody you love.
I don't know. Yeah,
doctor.
We have to look into that more.
I'm going to the wrong doctor.
I guess so.
Yeah.
No. Yes. Absolutely. I want you to go to do those things, and if it involves making an appointment to get a massage, then please go do it.
Yeah, but see that.
You need a colonoscopy, too.
If you would do it for me, maybe I would be more inclined to make it happen.
I'm not giving you a colonoscopy. No, thank you. Maybe you'll give me one. I won't like it.
I've given you
plenty. Yeah, exactly.
Plenty.
Right.
Right.
And things that, you know, with our kids also, I think we can be really, I think I'm good at telling the kids all the time. As you, like, I don't know, are you at I love you or.
With the kids?
Yeah.
I'm
saying you're not.
No, I know that. I think I'm a very loving, mm-hmm. like when I wake up the kids in the morning, mm-hmm. I'm very snuggly and mm-hmm. hugging and, you know,
you're very
rubbing.
Affectionate with
yes,
our kids,
I'm
I have
very
to say.
Affectionate with
I know
kids.
You are. But I also think that we could be better at both of us. The small wins, you know, traditions, if you get an A on a test that you get, you know, ice cream for breakfast. I think we could be better about stuff like that. I don't know, a little small. I actually want to do a traditions episode as we get closer to the holidays, because I think my family had really important traditions that I think I would like to emulate that we haven't done yet. Although we've made our own.
Yeah.
So like I want to talk about.
Name one.
Well, like playing celebrity every time my family's over.
That's fun.
Which is super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we have good ideas with that stuff, but I would like to do more. Okay, please rate and review.
Yes, wherever you
if
get
you
your podcast.
If you made it to, oh my God, an hour and 20 minutes, you please.
Well, this was a fun episode.
It was
I assume you made it. This was fun.
No, but what I'm saying is just take a minute. It's a minute. It's all it takes. We're not. It's no money.
To what?
To rate and review.
Oh, okay. So wherever
on,
you're listening.
Yeah, and go on Patreon. We've gotten a few people who said they unsubscribed because of Patreon. Well, listen, we're still giving emails, Instagram, regular episodes,
well,
all this stuff.
Well, it's just supporting us.
It's supporting us, and it is, this takes us so long to put together, and it's just literally, we can buy more equipment, we can do more stuff. I'll pay
for the fucking hosting.
Yeah,
and
the equipment we have here. There was very few people who complained about it, but we really, for $5 a month, could really use the support. And we would love it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, okay. Thanks, guys.
And sign up for the emails. Go to marriageandmartinis.com. We have so many signups already, but listen, we'll send you the blah, blah, blah.
That's okay. No blooper. Just keep going.
The questions every week.
So. Oh, we have a lot of bloopers, by the way, that are going on Patreon.
Are
like,
they?
Things like
don't
that.
Don't just say that.
I
are
have
you
them
doing
saved.
It?
They're in a folder.
All right.
It's going to happen. And, yeah.
We love you.
Thanks so much, guys. Love you. Bye.
Bye.